Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in count is called Blue Magnetic Hand, and it is the first day of the Blue Hand Wave Spell. And it is also the first day of the resonant moon, the seventh moon of our 13 moon year. And I have this initial reluctance to even talk, which I think is connected to the resonant moon, which in my mind is kind of a meditative space, a retreat space. When we're resonant, we are in the center of the wave spell. The seventh day is the midpoint. We are describing, connecting our footprint on earth to some heavenly body, whatever you describe that to be, whatever it feels like to you. There is this vertical human that operates as a conduit. And it's not that we have to experience ourselves as like, I am a conduit and I will have a prophecy because I am taking into my being all of this communication between heaven and earth. I think it's more personal that we become conduits for our own download that exists between the heavenly realm and this incarnation that we occupy. So that's what makes it somewhat inward or insular, is to just be able to take the time and space that's afforded in this channel to listen and explore. And also just explore that we have a bridge to another space than the terrestrial one, the earthly one. And, you know, I'm really into that. That's a commitment I made. Like, I would rather be out there than here anyhow. So I love to explore access to an outlying cosmic place. But if that's not your norm and you don't even care about natural time or follow it, but you're just existing in the world, this would be a moment in our year that invites a lot of that reflectiveness, which is why I think it correlates really beautifully with people's attempt in the Gregorian New Year to turn over a new leaf or to seek, you know, a higher plane and come out of the spiral that the holidays invite towards weird emotional states and addictive tendencies, with this idea of getting clean and conscious and renewing. That's really, to me, the heart of what happens in the resonant moon. So it correlates really beautifully. The resonant moon always begins on this day, always, right? So it's always January 10th. And that's kind of interesting because I think then the New Year's resolutions are not as focal, but there's still this trend towards just separating oneself from all the materialistic fervor and the gluttony that comes with our holiday festivities. So we're there.
And this podcast is sort of my way of hashing out that we're starting the blue hand wave spell, because I wasn't thinking of it very consciously. I've been really taken up with headlines again, been really obsessive about reading the news. It feeds the hunger in me for justice against abuse. So it's kind of like they caught the perpetrator and they're deliberating, you know, whether they can win a prosecutorial charge against them. And I'm like one of the people that was battered along the way. So probably that's a universal experience. And I'm right there in the midst of it. Like, oh, could it be? Could it be? So I'm fixated on the news in a way that's, you know, it's not super productive. I was really enjoying that I had detached from that frenzy of infomania. But I correlated, right, that we're starting Donald Trump's wave spell today. And that makes me happy in the sense that I like correlating my sort of flawed human infatuation with drama. I like wedding that to some kind of Mayan cosmology meaning. So I can now. I can be like, well, I got really fervent about tracking, hopefully, the demise of this motherfucker. But now it's his time. So what's really going to happen? What's really going to happen? And I'm not talking about my idea that something bad is going to happen. I think something bad has happened. And I think that the blue hand wave spell that is related to Donald Trump's identity is just going to have a lot of truth about his identity. It happened 260 days ago. I can't remember what the news cycle was, but it wasn't like good for him. When we get to the truth of his blue hand identification and pass through these astrological portals, he's just revealed. And so I'm interested in what's going to be revealed this time, the transparency of the astrology showing me, or you if you're watching as well, you know, what can we look at in the caricature of this man? Like, what is the truth at the depth? And what is his role in society when it's his wave spell? Is he going to be, you know, like when the dead don't die is another, like another rearing up. I will not quit, or, well, I'm not going to prognosticate. We're going to see, but I want to point it out to you. It's a big theme of this podcast, partly because it fuses the interest in astrology that you seem to hold with what's happening historically, because history is in the making now. And I think that's usually where I fall in line and pay attention, is when I'm like, well, this is so historic, you know. I just really remember being enthralled by actual history textbooks when I was in school, because it told a story, and, you know, I seem to be pretty attached to story and mythology. And political history, American history, has a mythology of a sort. So we're in it now, and I really do find it fascinating and exhausting. And it's good to be in nature, and we can talk about what else blue hand can mean. I'm guided by blue hand, so you can check to see if you are guided by blue hand. If you're supported by blue hand, you would be supported by blue hand if you were a yellow human. And if you are a white wizard, such as the wave spell we just had, then blue hand is your occult time. And if you're a red earth, it's your antipode, your challenge. So blue hand can be the guide for you. It can be the challenge. It can be the opposite. That's the challenge. It can be the support. That's the analog. And it can be the kind of hidden, mysterious time that makes you remember that there is magic in the world, and that's the occult power. So, So Blue Hand ends up being lots of things at once. Like I said, I'm guided by Blue Hand. My daughter's a Blue Hand. What I observe is that it isn't a very spiritual day sign. The people that are Blue Hand aren't that infatuated with divinity, although there is the importance of that in the occult power of White Wizard, which is shamanism and a celebration of how divinity, you know, pours down into our humanity and heals us. That's like what the shaman will do. And so Blue Hand people, Blue Hand time is informed mystically. You know, it's a good thing. It's a hidden mysterious influence on Blue Hand to welcome healing or spirituality that comes from a pretty primal place, but like the practice of religion, I don't think as much. I don't know why I bring that up in particular. Maybe just so that you know that you're entering a kind of cerebral time, like the information age and scanning for knowledge as the internet like explodes in us. You know, it overtaxes us with that offering. Like that's really Blue Hand. Because Blue Hand is always trying to inform the mind with what it can reach for, what it can touch, what it can sense through fingertips that can inform the mind. And the mind is always sending out the request that the hands verify what the mind is assessing by being the outreach of the mind. So this back and forth, like checking, questioning, like, is that what I think it is? Yes, that's what it is. Like just, it's super obsessive in a way. I can tell because I'm guided by this energy and I'm really get caught in that bind of like, always thinking, but also always verifying. Is it true? Is it true? Is it true? So I think that's part of like somewhat positive Blue Hand acuity, like really on it, always awake to double checking reality in real time, but also exhausting oneself with an overthinking, overanalyzing physical tick to thinking, meaning it's not just a poised intellectual curiosity with a still body, which is sort of what I think of Blue Eagle, is very professorial, like observing from a distance but not getting in the mix. Blue Hand is quick thinking and checking it out, getting in the mix, maybe not bodily. If we think about Trump, I mean, he's always observing in TV, etc., and he's always in the mix, but he doesn't like bodily do a lot. You know, it's not a dynamic, lithe interfacing of the thought with physical reality. It's more like looking at something from the outside and then poking it to see what it's like without getting all messy. But as we enter the time, this just sounds awful, right? So I'm trying to figure out, okay, here's what's so great about Blue Hand. I mean, I knew this already. It's really my first thought about Blue Hand, the wave spell. It's like, oh my God, what a time for accomplishment, for getting manual things done. Of course, I am in the middle of my manual labor project here. I'm rebuilding a home. I think that manual labor is my best way of describing it because all day long I'm just running around doing things with my hands. And that I'm really excited that it's the Blue Hand wave spell because that will support what I'm already doing and hopefully sort of amplify my ability in this project. And someone else is coming to help me, and I'm feeling really good about someone being here in the Blue Hand time, that's an effective time for a builder to do something efficiently. So you can use this time to make things you know, in the quarantine moment, maybe as we close in on like many, many moons, closing in on a year essentially before long, you might have done enough crafting and, you know, DIY fixing of things that are in disrepair and not be that interested in another round of like the hobbyist who's going to make something. But it is a really good time for that. And another thing that it is appropriate is finishing things. In life, again, I'm guided by Blue Hands, so it leads me. You know, it leads me. It's almost larger than my own essence in that I'm always drawn forward by this energy. That's what the guide is. Like, where is my guide? Okay, I have to go where that is. So this impulse for me, one of the really prevalent ones, is that I really feel good when I finish things. And I'll contextualize that, which is I feel really unwell when I don't. And that plays into like childhood experiences. I loved school because it had finite projects. And when I went to college, where they assign you 400 pages of textbook reading a week in each class, it was so stressful for me. It was like a psychological breakdown, because learning was no longer finite, because the reading was impossible to finish. It was sort of like thrown at you, like I'll give them 400 and expect them to do 100. And that was psychotic to me, because there was never a point of completion. And then also, you know, in childhood or in any emotional structure of a family, to not have order, to not have you know, a parent saying, this day is done, I will tuck you in, this is the end of a dinner that I prepared, and we will do dishes, you have chores, that define completion of household duties. Like, I lived in a super countercultural situation, and it was really hard for me, because I wanted things to be accomplished in a nameable, visible way. I mean, I discovered this much later, but it's part of this drive Blue Hand offers. So you don't have to get into new knitting projects, but you can look around and see what you've started in the past that you have this impulse now to either get rid of or get through, get complete. Blue Hand is also about healing. I'm just reaching, you know, deeper in, so it just doesn't sound so clinical, although I think it is. I think it is a clinical time. And just be ready for that. I think Trump reflects that pretty accurately. The healing that is available is that we can also use our hands to accomplish healing. And a healing is one of the words that José Arguelles chose, and he seemed to have some kind of insight here, right? So the laying on of the hands that's ancient is something that we find that in our modern world. Hands-on treatments exist, but not so much during COVID. And, you know, I really find that to be the awkwardness in my life when I encounter people. I just had a visitor yesterday in my home who was someone I knew when I was a child, the parent of a childhood friend, and she had found me because I am, you know, new in a neighborhood and the word gets out that I am from this area. And so she came around, and it was so wild to not hug, you know. She's an older person and, you know, not a close friend, although it felt really close to reconnect with her and to just keep your distance and, you know, separate without that greeting. That's a big change, you know, the pandemic has brought to my life. And so in the Blue Hand time, we're going to notice that we want to touch, and maybe we have some people in our bubble that we can touch. I don't think of it as sensual, although I would wish that for anyone at any moment. I think of it more as, again, kind of the clinical version of touch, the curiosity, and that hands-on healing is often about detecting, you know, through our hands what is happening and connecting that to our mind if we're the healer. Like, I'm going to work with this person's body or this person's psyche through my hands because my mind is informing me of what ails them. And yet, I just think laying on of the hands is like the calming agent that can help many, many situations. And it's a counterbalance to how clinical Blue Hand gets, that their hands are so sensitive and dexterous and alive. And it's because originally this glyph, if you look at the hieroglyph itself, it's a evolved depiction of a deer's antlers. You know, it looks like a hand, and that's all good, but originally it was honoring the deer and how the deer has this vast network of antennae, deep sensitivity, and a power source, a weapon, and that our hands are somehow our version of antlers. A lot of this is sort of redone, but when I start the wave spell, I kind of have to call my encyclopedic amassed notations about a day sign, and then we get into the wave spell and they'll be learning from me either reminders or new awarenesses. It's different every time, and I think that it is sort of scientifically different every time because we're always interacting with a different moon surround as we move through the wave spell. Like this Blue Hand wave spell is intersecting with a resonant moon. If we have the Blue Hand wave spell during the lunar moon, it's going to feel different. If we have it during the spectral moon, it's going to feel different. So 260 days will move us through a variety of outlying energies that intersect with this moment. It's a Blue Hand wave spell during the blue lunar storm year. So it is our first Blue Hand wave spell of the blue lunar storm year. So it's our first time observing Donald Trump in his natural habitat during this very stormy year. I mean, what happened in the Capitol building, and it was just so blue lunar storm. You know, storms are going to happen. There are going to be climate change influenced meteorological storms, and there are going to be cultural storms. There are going to be relational storms. It's just stormy. The whole year is a blue storm year. So if you think back to when Obama won in 08, that was a blue storm year. It was blue electric storm. It was fantastically, you know, the transformation of his win was the benevolence of a storm. It was just an upsurge of beautiful chaos, an upending. And the elections in Georgia have that kind of a reflection, just like, ah, you know, a deliverance is happening, a breakthrough. And that's one side of the polarity. I mean, obviously, if you're not a progressive and you're listening, then you could have a different view. But my assumption is that we're pretty, we're the same demographic. So like that positivity of a storm, like, yes, the breakthrough has happened. I'm a blue storm. I know this from my identity. I provide lots of breakthroughs that feel great. Remember, it returns us to sunlight. I do that for myself, maybe even more than for others. I observe that. Like my crazy storm nature also creates lots of beauty, but it creates destruction as well. So like that's the whole metaphor, is that a storm, like let's take one of these category, you know, whatever number hurricanes that exist in other regions of the United States. I have fires, you know, the firestorm where I live, but other places have incredibly powerful actual wet weather vortices. So when that happens, it's all this destruction and flooding. It's an aftermath of, you know, invasive suffering. But nonetheless, the sun returns. So when all of this humidity gathers in the equator and moves north and hits the United States continent, there you know, is just this opaque layer of moisture. That's all that's happening. It's just an overabundance of evaporation creating this barometric mass in the sky that has to be transmuted. It has to fall back out, and it does it violently. And nevertheless, after that, the pressure is released and the sun returns, the stillness, the peace of the sunny day returns. Most of us experience that in a small way, like the rainstorm comes and goes in a few days' time, a day, part of a day. It's rain showers, and then that clarity, the rinsed land, that everything is reflecting light because it's wet. Like, that is what Blue Storm offers us. So in some situations, the storm comes through and we can see all that brilliance of the aftermath, be enlightened by it. And